Hello, we are the FPL Experiment Podcast. So at the start of the season, we set ourselves a mission. There's three of us, three friends, and the mission is to use our knowledge from many misspent seasons of looking at fantasy football. We're putting together our FPL knowledge to make a team that finishes inside the top 50K. So it's the November international break. Time to make some big plans. Time for reflection. Greg is here. Greg, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I had a really, really happy week.
Yeah. That's maybe not the message that I received before the start of the podcast.
Don't know what gave you that impression, mate.
Nick, how are you?
I'm tip top, mate. Thank you. Yeah, having a great week. The world is a better place this week. I've just had a lovely dinner. Do you want to hear about that now, or do you want to wait till the pinnacle?
I mean, you've mentioned it, so let's find out.
So I had cauliflower roasted in harissa with a bit of pomegranate on. Tell you what, pretty special.
Is that from Gusto?
No, I made it myself.
Oh.
What did you have with it? Just that?
No, I had some like roasted veg. So veg on veg, basically.
Veg on veg.
Yeah. It's been quite intense.
Wow, Nicholas.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying some new things at the moment. Saving the world one step at a time.
You going to try that again or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's delicious.
The pomegranate bit got me. I didn't think there was any place for it in there.
Honestly, mate, I used to think that. I'm a convert now. You should try it.
Okay. So the FPL Experiment Podcast is late this week, and I apologise for that. We've been busy. Normal business will resume next week, I promise. Next week, we will record on a Wednesday. We'll have it ready for you on Thursday morning, ready for your non-existent commute because of this stupid virus. Anyway, part one of the international break is tonight. Nick is tucking into a glass of red wine. I like the way you tilted your head on the camera there to the side as if you were maybe on some sort of TV advert. Anyway, part one of the international break. And guys, I've got a new feature for you for the start of the show. And I think you're going to like this. I want to reflect on the past week of football. So here are some of the best moments from last weekend.
It's Eze. Oh, and it's beautiful. His first Premier League goal, and what a way to score it. It is a sumptuous strike.
Oh, that was a goal, wasn't it, Nick?
Oh, what a player.
That was a goal. Oh,
what a player. I really enjoyed that game. It was, it really kind of put the cat amongst the pigeons, didn't it? I thought Leeds were good.
Was it this bit that you liked the most?
Zaha, lovely ball. Ayu! It's four. Crystal Palace pulling away now.
Oh, gosh, I forgot it was four.
Listen to this bit.
It's Leeds United, Jordan Ayew on target, ending a 14-game goal drought.
That's embarrassing, brilliant, isn't it? 14 games.
Jordan Ayew, of all the players to score past us, that one hurt the most.
It's all over here. Leeds United have been beaten 4-1 for the second time in 5 days.
Second.
Do you know
time
what hurts even days. More? I even messaged you telling you how sad and upset I was about this, and you said you weren't going to mention it too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you said earlier, I've had a bit of a bad day, Adam, and I thought for about half a second about not doing that.
That's quite a long time to think about that, Adam. I thought you'd have taken far less time to think about that.
So the FPL Experiment team had a pretty good week, right, as far as fantasy football is concerned. Scored 68 points. Our overall rank now is 660,000, there or thereabouts. 8 of our 11 players scored points. So good news in many respects. Martinez, Chilwell, Lamptey, Salah, Grealish, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Bamford, Kane scored us points. Some issues, the Leeds defence, Dallas not doing particularly well for us. Sterling as well, he's an elite midfielder, so you'd expect him to be scoring you some points. Robertson and that Liverpool defence, and there's some key questions that we'll answer today. We're going to change format slightly as we get into the episodes, because I think really we need to look at every aspect of our team and review where we're at and review if we can get more points. And that kind of leads into my takeaway from the last week of fantasy football, because I glanced down our mini league, our one with our friends, and I thought we've scored 68 points. Good week. Everybody's scoring about the same. Even, you know, people like Dan in our league, who's terrible at fantasy football, even he scored around about 60 points because everybody's converged into the middle. Everybody's copied each other. So often in fantasy football, everyone calls that the template. So I feel like now during this international break is the time for us to mix things up, to find those hidden gems, to get ahead of the curve before everybody else does the same thing in 2 weeks and copies each other. We've got two transfers to play with. I would almost recommend anybody in fantasy football to do it at the moment because the template is thriving.
It's a sad day when Dan Edwards has the same amount of points on a game week as the FPL experiment.
A joke that only our friendship group will get. But yeah, there's always that person in your league who is pretty terrible at fantasy football and you use that person as a bit of a barometer, yeah. Nick, how about you? What's your takeaway from the last week of fantasy football?
So I know it's only one game, but I thought Man United actually looked like a much better team without Pogba. So how that kind of feeds into our FPL thoughts, I think Fernandes playing like an out-and-out number 10, like all-action midfielder, is actually a really interesting player and one we should definitely consider. Because if they keep playing that system, he could be dangerous if we don't have him in.
Yeah, he's a devilish little player, isn't he? Greg, how about you? Takeaways from the last week?
I hate VAR. I hate how it's being implemented. I hate how it's ruining the game. I hate how it's ruining FPL. I hate how we're always talking about it. And it's not just because of that diabolical Bamford decision. It's everything around VAR at the moment. I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I thought you were bringing good spirit to the podcast tonight.
Yeah, I'm starting low and going high.
I mean, I agree. That Bamford decision was ridiculous. But as I said to you on text, I think Bamford's an idiot. What was he doing waving his arm around when he was in line with the two defenders? Like, just keep your arm down, you Wally.
He's used to playing the championship though, isn't he?
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Got any more boys? Just going to get them out. Get them out in one go. You've all got like 20 seconds. Just sprout crap about Leeds. Go on.
It's all over here. Leeds United have been for the second time in 5 days.
Second time, 5 days. Back in the championship soon. I really wanted to review our team, so I'm going straight in with the big question. Is it time to ditch Kane? The reason I think a lot of people are thinking about this, and with my takeaway in mind that the idea is that everybody has the same team at the moment, the template is rife, and so it might be a good time to try and get ahead of the curve. Harry Kane, next three fixtures, City, Chelsea, Arsenal. Everyone's got him. And there's definitely options in that elite striker area, other players that you could move to. Nick, would you consider ditching Harry Kane?
In a normal season, I think it might have been up for debate because, you know, form and fixtures are kind of in a more delicate balance. But I think this season, he's playing so well and fixtures don't really make a huge amount of difference. You may disagree, but I don't think they do. He could score in any of those games. He's so consistent at the moment. If I had both him and Son, I'd definitely consider getting rid of one of them, but I'd always be looking to keep Kane.
Is that also because you'd quite like him to spoon you as well? Just nuzzle.
Partially, it is winter time now, so it'd be lovely.
Greg, do you think maybe it could be time to ditch Kane? Would you? You are sometimes a bit more aggressive in your fantasy approach than Nick.
No, absolutely not. Harry Kane stays in our team for a long time at the moment. He, as I said, cheat cocaine. Guy's on fire. And I'm not worried that he's playing Chelsea. He's got more chance. Well, Spurs have a better chance of doing well against sides that are going to come onto them than those that just do the low block, like a West Brom did at the weekend, which they generally kind of struggle to break down. When you've got them on the counter-attack, I think you've got Kane that's going to get us an assist or a goal. So I think he has to stay in our team.
So if you were, Greg, going to transfer Kane out, let's just say gets injured maybe, or you were making that bold move, which player would you be looking to move to?
Vardy.
Those fixtures for Vardy, Liverpool, Fulham, Sheffield United, Brighton, Everton. I mean, that's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think if you're going to get a Leicester attacker in, I think Barnes comes into our team and enables us to maybe do something else elsewhere. But I think, yeah, there's only two premium strikers really this year that are worth probably talking about. And that's Kane and Vardy.
And Timo Werner as well, who's now got 4-4 in the Premier League.
And Timo Werner, who's probably got 4-4 in the league at the moment right now.
Nick, how about you? If you were going to move off of Kane, who would you move to?
As much as I hate to say, I'd agree with Greg. Vardy is the man who you would have to get for in that sort of bracket. I don't think there's anyone else who could really deliver that sort of value. He's so good.
4-4.
Vardy's got the fixtures. And I had a little look at Vardy's fixtures from last season. There's this theory with Vardy that he only scores against teams who play a high defensive line. He scored last season against Burnley, Bournemouth, Palace, Villa and Newcastle. But also, I've got this theory about Jamie Vardy. So he's currently on a run of 3-3 games. Did the same thing at the same time last year. So my theory is that Jamie Vardy is in season. He's essentially a pumpkin.
He's on heat and he just needs a sniff.
Do you know what? I heard a commentator say about another player the other day, he just needs a sniff and then he'll punish you. Such a weird sentence, but it really made me think of you, Nick.
So you're saying that he's about to come into season and he's ready to deliver some serious points.
Some serious soup.
Some serious soup?
Soup.
Wow.
He's a pumpkin.
Oh, right.
Right, anyway, Nick, you've already kind of said this. If you had Kane and Son, would you ditch Son?
I think I would. Son's not been that great the last few games. I think there's a lot more you could do with that money right now, considering, I know I said about form and fixture at the start of the pod, but, you know, the fixtures aren't great. So if you do have an opportunity to kind of move that round to someone who is more in form and who has fixtures as well, it seems sensible, but just keep Kane in your back pocket.
I agree with you about Kane, by the way, both of you. I think you have to keep Kane at the moment.
Good.
I think there's absolutely no way that a striker in that kind of form you can get rid of, especially given that, look at those defences. Arsenal just conceded 3 to Villa. Chelsea, not particularly strong at the back. They've been one of the stronger in the Premier League, but you still think that there's a chance. If Sheffield United can score, then certainly Spurs can. Sterling obviously fits into that expensive midfield bracket in there with Son. Greg, if you were going to move away from Sterling, or if you had Son and you were looking to move on to someone else, who would be number one on your priority list?
Number one right now for me would be Ziyech. I think he's phenomenal.
Above Fernandes, above De Bruyne.
Fernandes, above De Bruyne. I'm not even worried about City midfield assets at the moment. Until they have a couple of games where they're actually on song and clicking, which I don't think KDB's near his best form at the moment. Sterling definitely isn't. I think you go with the players that are in form and we can hop on and hop off as we need to. And I think Ziyech definitely is. Two double point pulls. Yes, they were against weak opposition, but the guy's electric. He's got a wand of a left peg. And I think he's either going to get assists and knock in with a few goals as well.
That ball to Chilwell was ridiculous.
The ball he did to Werner, where Werner scooped it over the goalkeeper but missed it, was phenomenal as well. He's just so dangerous. He's got a really good understanding early doors with Werner as well.
Everyone was getting very excited about that 6 key passes that he made against Sheffield United. I saw that stat absolutely everywhere. I think it was the most key passes anyone had ever had in the world ever or something. I don't know.
I think Nick Jackson could add 6 key passes against Sheffield United right now.
I mean, he's amazing, but it's interesting that you think he's above at the moment Fernandes, KDB or any other elite midfielder. Do you think he's worth it purely for the assist? Because he's not really having many shots on goal. So really, you're just looking at him as somebody who's going to get you those regular 3 points, although it might well end up being 2 or 3 lots of 3 points a game.
Well, if you take a step back and look at the entirety of his career, he's played 325 games. He's got 125 assists, but he's also got 110 goals.
That could be down to the system that he plays in. In that system at Chelsea, he's going to play on that right wing. And at the moment, they're playing with 2 strikers. So I can't see him getting into those central areas all that often.
But I think he almost has the Arjen Robben sort of role that they had previously. I don't know. I just think when someone's playing as well as they are right now and they've got a nice run of games coming up, I think you just put them in your side. And I don't think you overthink it. And I know when you compare him to Fernandes, yes, he's come off of a really good game. But let's be honest, Man United haven't been clicking and they've been terrible recently. So I think you need to look at that game as a one-off, and we need to see maybe 2 or 3 games in a row where he is actually looking that much of a threat.
But surely you would have Fernandes, who has 3 threats, right? He's got assist threat, goal scoring threat and penalty threat, whereas Ziyech has one of those things. And don't forget, Chelsea like 3 games ago weren't all that. I think you need to look at who offers the most bang for your buck. And Fernandes is more expensive. I think if you can get both of them, brilliant.
The reason that Chelsea weren't necessarily that good at the start of the season, and they probably will have another dip in form because of all the new players, but they have players like Werner, who was still bedding into that lineup. They didn't have Chilwell in the first few games, and he's been amazing for them since he's come in. Obviously, Ziyech has just been that final piece of the puzzle. I like Ziyech a lot. And I think if you remember when Fabregas was at Arsenal And he was mainly assists in fantasy football, but he also got a hell of a lot of points and was really worth having. It can work. I was just questioning whether or not Ziyech would be your number one person to go for, because like Nick, I think I prefer Fernandes because there are so many different avenues for points. Nick, is that who you would go for if you had to replace Sterling right now, or if you were bringing in someone new for Son, if we had him, would you go Fernandes?
My list was Fernandes, Ziyech, followed by KDB, because I think Ziyech is actually not in that price bracket where they're mutually exclusive. You could get both. I think KDB would be a bit of a sidestep, and you know, City don't seem to be scoring the volume of goals they've scored in seasons past. So I think for me, next game, United at home to West Brom. I know United's form at home hasn't been great, but that seems like a good fixture for him to do a bit of damage.
If we sacrifice Robertson, which probably is a conversation we need to have today, we can get both of them in and still have 6.2 million in the bank for a decent defender.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that would be my preference straight up.
Maybe we'll talk about that more probably next week, I think, because at the moment you're in international break. Anyone could get injured. It may well be that Kane gets injured and then we're having a completely different conversation. It's the second time I've said Kane gets injured in this podcast. I don't know why I want him to... I don't want it, Harry. I don't want it. I like you. I love you.
You just love the chaos, Adam. You want everyone to have to take him out of their teams.
Oh, it is enjoyable when that moment happens, though, when there's someone who's like 50% owned and the game's got a bit stale and then that person gets injured for a few weeks, because it just spices things up. I do enjoy that. It's interesting that Kevin De Bruyne has gone completely off people's radars. I think with Aguero coming back pretty soon, Jesus, I can't help but think those people that do have him could benefit. And I'm also looking at Rashford and thinking, okay, it's a bit of a high-risk move to go for Rashford, but over the last couple of weeks, he's been so unlucky not to score so many more points. He's had so many decent opportunities, good shots on goal, playing really well, and I'm just looking at his fixtures thinking he could come through. If you weren't going to go for Ziyech, as far as I can see it, possibly two other options. Maybe Zaha, who's got really good fixtures, and I know, Greg, you don't like him, but he has got decent fixtures. The other one, I think, would be Rodriguez. And Rodriguez comes back into your thoughts, I think, because Richarlison isn't suspended anymore. So Everton have been a bit weird recently. Do, Nick, you think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is worth keeping, given that Everton have gone off of the boil and potentially Rodriguez has got a higher ceiling because he's a midfielder, so he's therefore got the chance to get more points. He also assists, not only scores.
I would say Calvert-Lewin is a keeper purely because he's so cheap. With Rodriguez, although there is the opportunity for assists and the odd goal, I think Calvert-Lewin seems to be the target man for most of their moves, and he is such great value, especially if you've had him from the start or like near to the start. He's gone up so much now. You know, he's not completely out of form. He got an assist last game, sorry. I'd be inclined to keep him.
I don't think it's a conversation we should even be having. He's only got less than 5 points once this season. He's so consistent. And yes, they've been playing poorly recently, but he's still been getting points. So I think he becomes more attractive when you get the first team back again for Everton and Richarlison comes back in. I think it highlights how sort of shallow their squad depth really is and how much they can really sustain what they were doing early on in the season. But as soon as Richarlison comes back, I think he becomes a better option all round for everyone FPL-wise.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of question every different aspect, because sometimes you've got these players that you consider to be season keepers, and we'll come on to Liverpool defence in a minute, and you think, oh, I'm never going to change that. I won't ever challenge that person in my team, when actually there could be better options out there. So I just wanted to review it.
Given the fact that they've been playing so poorly recently, and he's probably actually gone under the radar a little bit because he hasn't been like getting double-digit hauls, but he's just been so consistent.
The price he's at and the points he's delivering, it makes sense. Like, there's not really any other options that I would consider around that price point anyway. So I think he's just a nice enabler for the rest of your squad.
Under that 7 million sort of striker option, you've got four really good options. You can go Bamford, Watkins, Antonio, or Che Adams right now. And I think they're four really good options. And that's where actually people are probably going to make up some points on one another and up their own mini leagues by having one of them that maybe their competitors don't have. Bamford and Watkins are just, they're so close to one another in terms of what they've been producing this year. Bamford's what, 7 goals, 1 assist. Watkins, 6 goals, 1 assist. But then you've got Adams, who just looked fantastic against Newcastle. I mean, Southampton, that's probably the best I've ever seen him play. And they've got a lovely run of games as well.
Greg, completely agree. And I think the best point you made there is that if people are going to make jump ups in their mini leagues, these are the kind of areas where you're going to take advantage, because teams are so template at the moment. If you are able to hop onto Che Adams, who, like you said, against Newcastle was unreal. Like, his stats were amazing in that game as well. If you're able to jump on someone like that and jump, kind of go against the grain, then you will make up those points. I think Che Adams is probably going to be good for a couple of weeks, and then you might have to move on to someone else. So maybe you could go for him and then jump on to Antonio. Ollie Watkins, I don't know about him. I don't know whether or not he can continue what he's doing, because his stats aren't particularly good. He's having around about 2 shots a game. But when you've got that service coming from Barkley and Grealish, or as Nick likes to say, Grealish, then then when you've got that service coming in, then there's absolutely no doubt you're going to continue to score goals.
Well, you break it down a bit between, I think you have to sort of compare him with, you either have him or Bamford, really. If you look at what they're doing in the opposition box, like, Bamford's had 14 shots on target to Watkins 9, which kind of goes hand in hand with what you were just saying. But they've both had really similar touches in the opposition box as well. So Bamford 41 to Watkins is 44. So he is in the right area. He is influencing stuff. I actually think Watkins probably has a higher ceiling each week in terms of points potential than Bamford, but I think Bamford is probably going to be a bit more of a consistent low-end scorer.
You're right, Greg. I mean, if you do have to have a player in that price bracket, most teams have Grealish in, right? So you don't really want Grealish and Watkins.
Grealish? It's very Game of Thrones, Grealish. He's gone beyond the Grealish. Wall.
You don't want Sir Grealish and Ollie Watkins in your team, because That's just too much Villa. I mean, they're all so cheap that they're a great option anyway. But if I was going to have to choose, you know, blank canvas, I'd probably go for Grealish and Bamford as opposed to a doubler. Grealish's stats, like I've said in episodes
Sir Grealish, if you're going to do it, come on.
Sir Grealish's stats are off the planet. Like, they are next level for a player of his price as well. Like, you've got to get him. But I just love him and Barkley together. Him at, like, Barkley's awesome as well, and he's so cheap. He's 5.9 or maybe 6 now. You know, you've got to have one of them in there because their fixtures are incredible.
Imagine a footballer with Antonio's thighs and Grealish's calves.
And the exposed shins of Sir Grealish.
In his tiny teenager chin pads.
You'd have a poster of that chap on your wall, wouldn't you, Greg?
Mate, that'd be meat and drink for you at a six-a-side Tuesday, mate. You'd have no shins left.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Liverpool's defence. Nick, Liverpool's defence, worth keeping. They've got Brighton and Fulham in their next four, but obviously Gomez is now out injured. Van Dijk, of course. What do you think?
So I'm going to start this conversation with my own personal experience. When I saw Trent got injured, I was relieved. And that, to me, that's alarm bells, right? I think if I know I have to get rid of him, I'm going to be happier watching the games each week, because I think, especially with Gomez out, you've basically got Robertson left of any sort of caliber in that back four. And I think Robertson, strangely, could actually become more of an option because everything's going to have to go through him. They're not going to be putting James Milner up and down the line, whipping in crosses, are they?
Why not? He can do that job, and he's proven over the years that actually he's got the engine to do that job. Yes, not with the same.
I've not seen him play for about a year.
Played the weekend, mate.
I wasn't watching. They're not going to keep clean sheets, are they? But yeah, I think the Liverpool defence is questionable. I wouldn't think twice about getting rid of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I know I was wanting to start, well, it was probably about 4 weeks ago now, saying, look, Robertson's a set and forget, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. And we weren't aware that Trent Alexander-Arnold, Van Dijk and Gomez were all going to be out injured. So I think you have to take a step back. You're hoping every week that you're going to get an attacking return from him because you're not going to get a clean sheet. And I think that's the wrong way to look at a defender. Chilwell can do that option for us right now. He is that Trent Alexander-Arnold of last season for us. Which
the
means
amount of shots that Chilwell is having on goal is ridiculous at the moment. He's
bonkers.
Actually turned out to be a really good transfer. Even though you messed up with that transfer and did it by accident, he's actually turned out to be a really good one for us. And I looked back at the numbers for the Sheffield United game. Essentially, his stats are up there with Timo Werner's stats.
So are you both saying thank you? Was that what that was?
Never. I was going to say what Greg said. If you've got Chilwell, why would you stick with Robertson or Trent?
And like, it frees us up for options, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's so much cheaper. He's doing the same job that Robertson was doing.
Do you know what, Greg? Last week, purely because he was playing against Fulham, I think your recommendation of Cresswell went fairly under the radar.
But he could have gone crazy, couldn't he?
Oh, that free kick that he took was amazing. But he's on free kicks. He's on corners for a team that are fairly good in the air from corners as well. Gets far forwards, looks pretty good. I think Cresswell could be a really good shout as an alternative at the back. He's 5.1, and I think he's probably underneath where he should be rated in terms of his price point at the moment. And there are other options that you've rated pretty highly too. I think Castagna is coming back fairly soon, and he's at 5.6, and that Leicester run of fixtures makes him pretty tempting as well.
I think they've looked solid as well recently, Leicester, even without him. So you bring it back into the fold with the run of games they've got. I mean, they've been eking out 1-0 victories against really good sides.
To get that victory against Wolves was really decent.
That could have gone either way with those teams. I think Wolves are pretty, a bit like Arsenal at the moment, devoid of any attacking ideas. I just think he could be a really good option for us again. I mean, you know my thoughts on Castagna. I love him.
And also, Nick, obviously you talked about Cancelo in the league at the moment. As far as a Pep option can ever be considered to be nailed on, Cancelo's looking pretty decent. And again, his assist stats are really good. But also, they seem to have changed the way that they're playing ever so slightly. And I wonder whether or not they might be doing that because they fancy having a go at the Champions League this year. And it's become pretty evident that if they want to get any kind of success in the Champions League, then they probably do need to make themselves a bit more secure at the back. And I don't know if he's doing that with the idea of getting some success on that front.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're a lot more solid. There's a lot more, you know, with Man City, a clean sheet has rarely been a sure thing. I think this season, more than ever, they're looking more solid. As you say, that, you know, that is, they're sacrificing goals to get those clean sheets. But, you know, Cancelo is looking, he's looking lively down that left. And I think, if you're going to pick a City defender, he's definitely the one to look at.
I was on Twitter the other day and FPL Swede had a really good thread about Cancelo. Just a few highlights that he mentioned. Like, obviously, he started four straight games in a row now, which for Man City is crazy. But last four game weeks, they're second for expected goals conceded. So as you both mentioned, Man City are really tightening up at the back. He's made 11 key passes in that time as well, which is a crazy stat really from left back. And after the Spurs fixtures, their run of games takes a really nice turn as well. Not many people are talking about him, but I think Diaz has been a great signing for Man City. Him and Laporte together just seem, they finally look solid for once. And I think that seems to have flown under the radar from everyone. And he might pop up with the odd goal from a corner, but I think Cancelo is probably the option to go for if you're going to go for a Man City defender.
Yeah, the only thing is, with their fixtures easing up, he probably will rotate, and that probably brings Mendy back into the equation because I think he's coming back from injury as well. So maybe if we are talking about defenders at the end of the international break, that might come into the equation, might have a bit of a clearer picture on Mendy. But it's hard to think that he would drop Cancelo at the moment, but we also know that he's going to prioritise those home games in the Champions League. So I guess the thing is, if we've got a strong enough bench, then it doesn't matter too much.
Any Man City pick, apart from the big boys like De Bruyne, you've got to accept there's an element of risk. Like you say, Ad, you've just got to have the bench for it and just hope that they don't come on in the 85th minute.
Yeah, I guess. And with Cancelo, maybe he probably is unlikely to come on in the 80th minute or whatever. He's more likely to turn to a midfielder or an attacking player. Now I say that, watch us bring him in and he'll only get 1 point. But anyway.
I don't think he really rates Mendy anyway. Like, even when he's back, I think Cancelo seems to be his go-to guy.
I think he's suffered, hasn't he, Mendy, with those injuries, unfortunately. When he first came to the Premier League, he looked so good, but he just looks a different player now. Anyway, is there anyone else that you would like to talk about that we haven't mentioned, or maybe there's like a really good stat that you haven't been able to get across and you just want to shoehorn it in here?
I've got a stat talking about defenders. Friend of the show, FBL Elf, tweeted the other day about Premiership sides. He didn't say Premiership, obviously.
No,
that's me.
Nobody does anymore, apart from like really old men. Yeah.
But basically, how many times that they failed to score in games this season? So you've got Burnley and West Brom failed to score 5 games this season, and Sheffield United and Fulham 4 games. But interestingly enough, Palace, Leicester, Everton and Man City all play 2 of them between game weeks 9 and 11. So if you're looking at defenders, then you probably want to look at one of those 4 teams.
So who were the 4 teams, sorry?
Palace, Leicester, Everton and Man City.
That is interesting.
Luke, Luca Dean could be a good shout. I think he's kind of, he was heavily adopted at the start of the season and yeah. he's been kind of gradually jettisoned. So I think if you can get him, I know he's expensive, but he's a brilliant FPL player because he's
yeah,
just got
Everton
weapons.
Everton are absolute turd at the back. Dogged. That's the only
yeah.
thing. Anyway, let's talk about differentials. We have a league table running. Greg, would you like to do your bit?
Differential of the week.
It's lovely. It's lovely. So a differential is if you are owned by less than 5% of players in the game and you cost under £8 million. Do you know who the best differential was last week?
Watkins.
It's a goalkeeper, actually.
Oh, Martinez. Not Martinez. Sorry, the West Ham goalkeeper, Fabianski.
Yeah, Fabianski, because Lookman decided to get all clever and just ended up looking like an absolute...
That was awful, wasn't it? It was hilarious. It was awful, though.
Did you hear Andy Townsend on TalkSport absolutely going to town on him? It was great.
No, what did he say?
Oh, he just ripped him apart. Like, absolutely disgusted with him.
Risky move, though. I respect him for that. First penalty for the club.
We actually all went for West Ham players as differentials. Nick went for Nels, who got 3 points. Greg went for Bowen, who got 3. I went Suchek, who got 9. Got the late goal.
Very smug.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? How late. There's so much injury time on that game. So now, as far as the differential league table is concerned, I've got 23 points. Greg has 9. Nick has 5 points. We'll come back to differentials next week. So this is part one of the podcast in the international break. We'll come back with part two, which will be out for you on the morning of Thursday, the 19th of November. We've got the international weekend to enjoy. Nick, how are you going to spend the weekend without any Premier League football?
I'm going to just immerse myself in my NFL fantasy from one straight into the other.
Yeah, I've got Greg this weekend and Christian McCaffrey is now injured, shoulder injury.
Yeah, that's
only
terrible,
just come back.
It?
I don't really have any other decent players in fantasy NFL, but it is really enjoyable. Apart from, I guess, if you lose to Greg, I can't imagine that's going to be in any way enjoyable.
I made a big call saying that Greg would potentially be the worst player in the second half of the season. So I'm really hoping that comes true.
I took that really well when you said that as well, didn't I?
Yeah. Do you want to put 50 quid on it, mate? Jesus Christ, shut up.
Greg, how about you? What are you doing? Anything good this weekend?
Sitting on my ass and watching the Masters.
Nice. Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, well, I've got money on Casey and Shafule. Hopefully one of them, because that'd be nice.
Well, this has been enjoyable. Thanks for joining us for the FPL Experiment Podcast. We'll be back in a few days' time. Have an enjoyable international weekend.